All right, it's 5 o'clock, so I'm going to go ahead and call our November 18th, 2024 Columbia City Council pre-council to order. We've got a few things on our agenda this evening. First up, we have our McKinney Building report. Then we're going to go into closed session, and then we'll open back up to open session for Citizens Police Review Board interviews. So I think I'm going to kick it. Hi? Yes? Agenda questions?
I thought when we did the interviews, it was just us and the person we were interviewing.
At the end, it is, but it's still technically open. Yeah, yeah. All right, well, I think I'm kicking it over to Amy Schneider, Director of Convention and Visitors Bureau, who will probably then just immediately kick it over to the chair of the task force. But
exactly right. But thank you very much, Mayor. Last year, the mayor and city council set up a task force to look at the McKinney Building, which is on Broadway right next to the Second Baptist Church. Dr. Clyde Ruffin has and did accept the task of being the chair, and he is bringing the final report.
All right. Well, thank you, Dr. Ruffin. And also, I see we have some of the task force members, and I just want to appreciate the efforts that you did over the last year, and also thanks for coming tonight on this rainy-ish day. So, yeah. Hi.
Well, good evening, everyone. On behalf of the task force, we want to express our sincere appreciation to the mayor for this opportunity. One of the phrases that we've used periodically is an opportunity to touch history. And so we are grateful to be a part of that process and also looking forward to sharing the summary of all the exhaustive work that has been done by the task force over the past 9 months. The task force was established in January of this year. We met monthly. We had independent working group meetings and conducted 4 public input meetings and also attended other community events with surveys and information. I want to also say that the initial meetings of the task force were held at Second Baptist because of its proximity to the McKinney Building, and thereafter we moved the monthly meetings to this room in order to record those sessions. So there is an audio recording of the task force meetings. Be Heard, Como, housed a project page with the task force updates and online access to the survey that was used at the public input meetings. Mayor Buffalo appointed a 15-member task force. It represents a diverse cross-section of the community. As you can see, the task force was charged with facilitating research and conversations about the history of the McKinney Building and its surrounding area and exploring the vision of the community for the future use of the facility. In addition to the task force members, there were multiple members of city staff and partners from the MU School of Architecture who also played an important role in this work, and you'll see those names listed on the screen. Early on, it was decided by the task force that dividing up into topical working groups would benefit the outcome of the final report and also serve to guide the structure of the survey. So 4 working groups were established, each with the city staff liaison. Task force members were allowed to sign up for whichever working group interested them. There was the History and Culture Working Group, which was chaired by Sarah Drescher, Form and Facility Design, Brian Atkinson from Creative Services, Function, Activities, and Programming, Janet Godin, and Access, Erica Kaufman. And so now we're going to review some of the highlights from the community survey, which was available both online and in person at public input meetings. 108 surveys were completed. And the full survey results, including open-ended feedback, are indicated or included in the final report document. First off, should the renovation aim to preserve the architectural integrity of the historic building? 90.3% said yes, 9.7% said no. And as we go further into the summary, you will see how the individual working groups incorporated this into their vision statement for the restoration of the McKinney Building. The next one, should the renovation include spaces for historical exhibits? Yes, 88.3%, no, 11.7%. Would you like to see multipurpose rooms in the facility for social gatherings? 92.3%, yes, 7.7%, no. Should the facility have spaces available for local businesses or artisans to showcase their products? 75.3%, yes, 24.7%, no. Would you like the facility to provide spaces for community meetings and events? 93.5%, yes, 6.4%, no. Would the community benefit from facility access on the weekends? 97.8% said yes, 2.2% said no. Should private events be held at the McKinney Building? 81.3% yes, 18.6% no. As part of the final report, working groups were asked to submit their thoughts and feedback based on the survey results and other work. The first group, the History Working Group, was charged with the following: to create a biographical narrative of Frank McKinney. In that process, we discovered Hester McKinney, his wife, who was probably the one who was most responsible for the building of that particular, the McKinney Building. They were also charged to document a narrative history of the McKinney Building. We had heard, we heard many stories about what happened in the McKinney Building that had been passed down generationally, but much of what we had heard had not been validated or documented. So we took advantage of having a number of historians with access to research students on our task force, and they were able to do a deep dive into various sources, and we were able to document specific events and individuals who occupied and utilized the McKinney Building. The next point, to develop an analysis of community life and culture in Columbia during the designated period within the context, the designated period is 1917 to 1934, within the context of significant national historical events. In other words, at the time, we recognized that being able to create the McKinney Building was an important event. So we wanted to set it in terms of what else was happening in Columbia and in the surrounding areas at that time, and also to validate how extraordinary it was for them to be able to create an institution such as the McKinney Building. We wanted to set it in the larger framework of what was happening nationally during that very critical period in our history, such as World War I, the increase in racial violence that occurred post-Reconstruction, the rise of jazz and the Harlem Renaissance, the Great Migration, the Great Depression, so forth and so on. And our historians have done that quite successfully, as you will see if, when you read the complete task force report. Each of these histories were assembled, and they are all included in your final report. The Form and Facility Design Working Group reviewed surveys and other facilities as well, comparable facilities. And their overall recommendation was to create a dynamic, and by dynamic I mean useful, accessible facility that allows for maximum flexibility. One of the things we discovered in the process was that there are great visions for how the building could be used, but the vision is dictated by the square footage. And so we came to the very early on, came to the conclusion that all of the spaces must be considered to be multipurpose spaces. But it's also important to maintain the architectural look of the building when it was first built, and then to add contemporary features that will serve how we envision using the building today and going into the future. The recommendations for the first floor, as you know, the McKinney Building, the first floor originally was retail space. The second floor was where the ballroom was and meetings were held on the second floor. Our recommendation was for the first floor to be the primary event space because of fire regulations and the culture of today. There are references to the McKinney Building having as many as 400 people upstairs in the ballroom, and we know now that would not be a great idea. So the first floor would include a welcome area, a lobby, exhibit space, restrooms, administrative office, and a flexible performance event space, and it's with an audio system. And we know that in order to serve the needs for today and going into the future, that the space must be adaptable to include all of the essential technologies such as audiovisual and sound equipment for concerts and so forth and so on. We want to maximize the size of that event space on the first floor in order to accommodate more diverse events. But we also understand that the lobby area may have to also serve as the exhibit space for artists and historical documents. The recommendations for the second floor, flexible, multi-purpose rooms for meetings, classes, a non-commercial kitchen on the second floor, restrooms, a lounge area that is also multi-purpose, and also general storage. The next working group, the Function, Activities, and Programming Working Group, recommended the following, that the building should serve not only as a landmark, but a place for social gathering, storytelling, a place to preserve Columbia and Missouri's Black history and cultural heritage, that the programming for the building should provide education in the arts and music, theater, performance, youth enrichment, educational programs, hands-on as well as experiential learning. It should also be adaptable for multimedia and varied technology to offer rotating and permanent historical events, showcase African and Black history in Columbia and Missouri. Provide interior spaces for multi-use, rental, or walk-up options to support classes, group meetings, small events. The building decor should include contemporary and historical photographs of Black neighborhoods, artifacts, artwork to aid in education and interpretive programs. There's also a recommendation for an outdoor patio seating for additional gathering space, poetry reading, art display, etc. The Access Working Group recommended the following to ensure that the facility's usage is not limited to a single group or organization. Create a versatile facility that can cater to the community's needs. The space should be welcoming and accessible to all members of the community. Security, safety, inclusion should be reflected in the design process, and access will need to be further evaluated once the design process takes place. All right, so I want to introduce Lyria. She will talk about a special project, and then we'll be done.
Do you want me to flip slides? You've got me. Awesome. Okay. But do come that way, because we'll be looking that way.
Where do you want me to?
If you want to stand over there.
Over there.
Yeah.
All right.
You don't have to be under the center, but that way we're looking at you and what you're going to show us.
Got it. Hello. My name is Lyria Bartlett. I'm from the Department of Architectural Studies at the University of Missouri.
And I sort of sat alongside this working group and worked with them from an architectural perspective. I have a student here, Danny Jennings, whose design we will look through. This has been her senior thesis project, to take the McKinney Building and the advice from the committees and try to put it into something that looks a little more realistic, though it can be changed. This is not anything other than student work at this point. But. So this is an exterior rendering of the building, is what it might look like upon renovation and retrofit. And the first floor, a couple of differences here, but the 115, if I'm accurate, for the with regard to fire code that could fit in this space and accessibility and egress and turn radius and those kinds of conditions were all taken into account in this space, and including the number of restrooms, toilets and sinks, things needed for that large of a gathering space. And the upstairs has an additional flexible classroom and again the means of egress and those types of things. And Danny worked very closely with some local artists and for the last sort of envisioning the rendering here, including the artwork that I believe can be found over in the Moore Street Studios from a local artist. I feel a little uncomfortable speaking about her work, but her final project is due at the end of this month, beginning of next month, and we're planning on taking this to the Solar Decathlon to look at some actual budgeting of what this might cost, get some cost estimates, some energy estimates, to have a little bit more practical data for what the city could use to maybe go forward with something of this size and this scale, and hopefully keep things moving forward to make progress on this.
Thank you.
Okay, at the end, we can ask questions, of Leary or Danny as well, when it comes to the design.
Well, from the outset, the charge given to the mayor's task force on the McKinney Building planning was twofold: to revisit and recapture the original vision of Frank and Hester McKinney, manifested in the creation of their historic building, and to pursue an evolving vision regarding the restoration of their building that will address the collective needs of our community today and in the future. The comprehensive work done by city staff and a diverse group of citizen volunteers has resulted in a unified final report that not only fulfills the original charge, but also serves as a narrative to guide future decision makers who will ultimately make critical decisions regarding the form, the function, and access of the McKinney Building. The task force concurs that it is imperative for the restoration of the McKinney Building through both design and vision to celebrate local Black history and economic achievement during the seminal years of 1917 to 1934, when the building served as an unprecedented community gathering space for political, religious, educational, recreational, and cultural events. Those who enter the fully restored building should not only be transported back in time to the vibrant experiences of preceding generations, but they should also enter an environment that accommodates the extraordinary innovation, interest, and creativity of the present generation. To accomplish this vision, in consideration of apparent space limitations, we recognize that every area must be conceptualized as flexible, multi-use spaces in order to address the necessity for both large public events as well as various small group meetings. I'm assured that the McKinney Building will once again become a cherished location and a reflection of civic pride for the entire community. However, I'm equally assured that access to the building must be easily affordable for diverse community programs and events in order to ensure that it is more than simply another historic site reserved for Columbia's elite. As members of the task force, we are privileged to participate in a legacy project with the inherent potential to impact the lives of future generations. Therefore, we have been inspired to imagine the McKinney Building as a place where once again the community will gather freely, whether for joyful celebrations or to voice their concerns during critical moments that will inevitably arise. Moreover, we envision that every area of the building will be filled with life and laughter daily, simply because it will be seen as a welcoming place where all generations will be able to learn, to create, to explore, to be heard, and ultimately to be empowered. As with any historic restoration, the road towards completion is not a sprint, it is a relay race. Therefore, as we pass the baton to those who will carry the vision forward, we urge you to be focused, to be diligent, to be committed. The mission is urgent, and now is the time. That concludes our presentation. The original resolution establishing the task force determined that it would be resolved upon submission of this final report. With the report submitted, city staff, along with other partners, will be able to begin researching potential funding sources to make the vision of the community a reality. We're now open for questions or comments.
Well, let me first say thank you, both Dr. Ruffin, for being one of our only presenters at a pre-council who gives your voice loud enough so you can hear it in this room. That's four. So thank you for that. And thank you for all your work and for all the task force work. I really do appreciate it. I think we all do. Because we had some of this information, you know, about this idea, but the research that's gone into it and the community engagement is very much appreciated as we move forward. I also want to comment on, you know, I do appreciate, too, DeCarlin and city staff's, when we first started talking about this, we envisioned a multi-use thing, reflecting this, and I'm glad that our ideas of what we thought would work are also what you heard as a task force about what we could do going forward. Questions from council for task force chair, task force members? Yeah, Nick.
And I may have missed it if I apologize for that, if I did, but that time period is defined in what way? Why that period did we look at the historical background? I assume it has something to do with the McKinney.
From the time
themselves.
The building was constructed until the death of Frank and Hester McKinney, yeah. And the building was sold in 1917 to 1934.
Yeah. It was a very impressive document. It was great to read through all that. It was educational, too. One of the things that struck me was the size of the Black community during that period in comparison to today. It's a lot smaller than it was at that time, which I think points to another reason that we need to memorialize this period and the community that is represented here.
Yes. Thank you.
Yeah, Val, did you
have? Hi. I had a question for you.
Oh, yeah.
You referenced some misinformation we had about this concept. what am I missing? In your address, like, a second ago when you were...
I was talking about how a year ago when we talked about purchasing it, we envisioned that it would be a mixed-use facility, and I'm glad to see that that's also how the task force interpreted from the community engagement what it could be used for.
Yeah. I like this direction.
Yeah. I was like, uh-oh, what did I...
asked you because I want to make sure that I know.
No,
and
I just
don't
like,
repeat... something from a year ago, which is before I was here.
You're good. Are there questions for task force? Okay, I think the prior next questions are for DeCarlin and staff about next steps.
Questions for the task force.
Oh, yeah. You do. Okay.
So one of the deliverables of the task force was the historical research report that you all crafted that puts together the context of the building and Mr. McKinney and Hester McKinney. And I'm wondering how we can make that accessible to the public and how we can make that digestible to the public in a way that honors the building's history and in a way that adds to and collects the written record of the building's narrative. as in,
like an exhibit?
Beyond a link on an agenda, how can we formalize this report a bit? Because it is a study deliverable, and it does gather historical information from, I don't know, 10 pages of resources.
Mm-hmm.
It's a considerable amount of research.
Yes.
That I'd like to see highlighted in some fashion.
I think that's a great idea. I think we're done. We have completed our assignment, and that is certainly something that is worth considering going forward for the next, yeah, whoever's on the next team.
Yeah. Amy, do you want to reach to that, or Megan?
Yes. So a couple of different things. It's still up on the Be Heard website, and so we will attach the report to that. Also, I'm sitting next to Chris Campbell with Coon County History and Culture Center, and we have had discussions where the report would be kept there as well.
Yeah, we're not planning on shutting down the Be Heard section for the project anytime soon, just because the task force work is done. Because it continues to be an open project, so it will absolutely live there as one of the places where it can be accessed.
But we're open to any other idea. I mean, yeah, that's just what we came up to. We're certainly open to any other,
yeah,
ideas of where it could be.
I think it's an excellent suggestion. I think there are lots of different ways it can be reproduced where it's accessible to the public. An old school way would be to create a publication that might be offered either for free or for sale inside the building. It'd also be pretty cool to, I think, see a visual video screen, touch screen, and active inside the building where anybody who was interested in the history could read this and scroll through images and text. That might be interesting.
Yeah.
And it's a public piece of work. In the end, it belongs to people of Columbia. Mm-hmm. So although the Boone County History and Culture Center is looking forward to adding it to our research library, it needs to be shared in other libraries and historical societies as well. So yes, I think it would be terrific to make this as available as possible and in as many creative ways as possible.
Yes.
And also, one of the things that we discovered in the process is that every idea is reflected in the overall design. How to incorporate the story of their history, the culture of the period, and all of the things that you've referenced will ultimately impact how the building is designed. And so there will be sufficient space for exhibits and video screens and all of those things that will be necessary going forward. But until we get a design, we don't know.
Sure. Yeah, I would very much like to see this report formalized in a way that can be used, whether it's, I envisioned a publication, to be honest. Certainly a screen is useful, but in a way that also will link all of the firsthand historical sources back to the conclusions of the report and draws everything together. And if that's viewable at the center, that would be great. I wonder if there is the possibility to engage with MU professors. I think we had Professor Dunkley and Mitchell. I don't know if they're in the office.
Mitchell's in the very back there.
Who must have been involved if you have students who would be interested in doing this as part of a project. That kind of collaboration avenue
yeah.
still exists.
So Professor Dunkley, who's the chair of the Black Studies Department, may. I'm a law professor. My students typically don't do that kind of research. They're really focused on getting out. But I would add a comment about the space. If you visited the African American History Museum in Washington, D.C.,
mm-hmm.
I think many of us envision this space as one that is interactive, multimedia, historical space, where you have interviews, you have videos, you have an interactive, and a way to engage with the space that's not just static, particularly for a different generation. What that means, though, and I know this may be stepping outside the space, or at least the conversation, until the funding comes to fruition, there are a lot of pieces of history that will be lost between now and when the McKinney Building comes to its final, if you will, design. And so what may be necessary and needed, quite frankly, would be to engage with historical leaders who are currently still alive now and record those conversations now for when that building comes to, if it goes online then, so that those things aren't lost to the dustbin of history.
Yeah.
And so that is something that I think, quite frankly, talking about visioning is something that could be part of a planning process, right? And then I would engage the history department at MU, Columbia College, Black Studies, Sociology, whatever.
That's a great idea. Yeah, yeah, Nick.
I heard you saying that you're done, so thanks for managing your boundaries well. But before you go, what's next on that slide? The dissolution of the task force, but then exploration of potential funding sources. And I assume that a part of that is what happens to bring the building to where we want it to be. But I'm wondering about funding sources for other things. If you had a conversation about that, what that might include, you know, the kinds of displays and that kind of thing that might be in the building. Anything else that would give us direction about where? Because when you read the report, of course, funding comes to mind, absolutely.
Absolutely.
But not just the building, but what happens inside it. So did you define that at all?
Funding opportunities?
Not funding opportunities, but funding needs for not only the building, but for what goes on inside the building.
Lyrica can speak to that.
So we have been following a few Arts and National Foundation for Arts and Humanities funding grant proposals, and so that's our next step with this design that we sort of came up with, is to try to put some numbers with it to, in a real world, what it would cost to make something like this happen, and then go seek out some of those grants. National Endowment for the Humanities, there's a $2 million grant out there for existing infrastructure with cultural and sustainable renovation efforts. So that's the target, but we're still putting numbers together with that, and then we'll need some help with the city to help write those, and they'll look for money in kind or donation in kind or things like that.
Okay.
Yeah. Questions for the task force? I think a lot of you agreed to do this because I put in there it would be dissolved once you finished your work. So
is that
I thank
a trick
you
question?
For all saying, yeah, you're like, how long am I committing to on this thing? So thank you for that. I think next steps are, DeCarlin, what your vision is from what you heard and what you're thinking from a staff perspective. You know, is this a parks department? Is this an OCA department? Is this a CVB? You know, or... And then also, what direction do you need from council?
It's citywide. The collaboration is multiple departments working together to kind of make sure that we have a process that can move it forward. Mm-hmm. The first step is to try to figure out exactly, what would be the cost of the build, and so that you can go out and pursue grant opportunities and pursue those endowments that can help us pay for it. But also, capturing some of that history. And I agree. Having the word of people speaking about the history in our community is so important. Mm-hmm. And so let's start capturing the voices and capturing videos that can kind of be part of that display. I mean, ideally, it's understanding how do we go from conceptual to an actual piece of art that's going to be hopefully transformative for the community. And I agree with you. When we purchased the building, we had a thought of what this could be. And it was about having that community activity space, but also spaces for public meetings and something that could be a really showcase for our community that kind of says, here's a place that's welcoming and inviting, that gives people another place to go besides trying to do stuff at City Hall. Mm-hmm. And so I'm excited about what the task force came up with. And when I saw the design from the student, it's like, wow, they were in my mind. They were in my head. So. That's exciting.
Yeah.
But I think coming up with what the cost would be for the build
is our next.
It's our next step, so then we can start pursuing grant opportunities.
Okay. Simultaneously to that, do you think it's possible to do some of these? I mean, it'd be good while the task force is still responding to emails. If there's ideas of who to interview and who to do for capturing some of these.
Absolutely.
I'm looking at our creative services manager thinking the interviews and the videos for that might be something that we can kind of be capturing while this is going on to make sure that we don't lose it and the momentum is there. Because that could also then help you with grant applications if you also submit some of these stories to go with it.
That's absolutely. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So next steps are figure out how much it would cost to do these things. No pressure. Architectural studies. And then figure out where we can go from that and what would be the city responsible with it.
Yes.
Any other council comments for this part? No. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Ruffin, task force member. Thank you. Appreciate your partnership on this, and thank you to the city staff, all the multiple departments that helped liaison between the different ones. Sounds good. Thank you. All right, and now we're going to go into closed session, so I'm going to read some words.